Hello and welcome to Inside Loudoun County. I'm Nancy McCormick, Public Information Specialist with the Loudoun County Government. On this edition of the program, we're going to be checking in with the 2011 Community Holiday Coalition program. And later on, we're going to be taking a look at Moorfield Station and the county's involvement in an innovative and sustainable integrated energy management plan. My first guests on the program are Karen Velez of the Department of Family Services and Gloria Mapofu of Help for Others Incorporated. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. Glad
to be here.
And you're so colorful. And
we're ready for the holidays.
For the holidays. Karen, why don't you start out with a little overview of what the Community Holiday Coalition is?
The Community Holiday Coalition started 16 years ago. This is our 16th year. And it started with a group of people getting together saying we have to come up with a better way to serve people during the holidays, a fair way, an equitable way, that everybody gets the same. Prior to that, we had an adopt-a-family program, which got a little bit out of hand. So we wanted to scale it back that everybody got everything and everybody got it equally. In other words, every child at the age of five got two toys and a stocking or and a puzzle and a book and a complete outfit, you know. So when the parents walked out, they had a whole bunch walking out. So it started, that's how it started, in that spring and summer before the winter of 96 when we had our first program of us just coming away. And then what we had to do as far as like a little history, we didn't invent the wheel, as I want to call it. What we did is we went researching for different programs throughout the, you know, internet is a great source to find out different things. And we found right in our backyard in Blacksburg, they had a program similar that really sounded great. You know, they had a, we found out about it. We got a, they sent us a tape of how their program worked, and it actually is a department store type style set up where you have volunteers set up the store and then volunteers help our clients that are eligible go through the store on a shopping spree, you know, and it really is a shopping spree. So it's pretty great. So, you know, we're proud to be here this long, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't have the support of the community. So that's the one thing I say is, you know, we have served thousands of families in over the years, but we couldn't have done it without equal to thousands of donors and volunteers that make this happen every year.
So it is a true coalition of community groups.
It's truly a neighbors helping neighbors, because that's basically what it is. We're here to help those that could use a little extra push, especially now in those economic times. And it seems like since the beginning I've been doing this program, and it's still been the same story all these years. There are always those that are left behind a little bit. And it's all about the kids, making the kids happy, and our senior citizens and people with disabilities. So,
and Gloria, what's your organization's involvement with?
Basically, Help for Others is involved in coordinating the program with the support of Loudoun County. It's basically a partnership, and we do have support from the communities, as Karen explained. The entire coalition would not be possible without the assistance and the help that everybody comes through and pulls through and make the program a success.
And it's probably something that we hear about it around the holidays, but it probably is a year-long process for you all to organize.
Absolutely. There's always work that's been done behind the scenes, beginning of right after the holidays. We start shopping for the next season to take advantages of the sales so we can stretch our dollars.
Now, Help for Others is going to be taking even more of a role in the program. Is that right?
That is correct. The county awarded Help for Others a contract to run and operate and manage the entire program with the support of the county and with the support of the community as a whole. And as a tax-exempt organization, the coalition is going to get a lot of benefits because Help for Others can take advantages of the many benefits associated with such status.
And you touched on this, but how important are volunteers to the program?
The volunteers are very important. The volunteers play a vital role to the success of the program. Basically, what we do is we convert a warehouse into a store. So what it is, all the volunteers come through, they set up the store, they help receive donations, they help, you know, with the clients, you know, do the shopping. They pretty much do a lot. Without volunteers, I think this program would be almost impossible to operate.
I will ditto that. It truly takes an army of elves
to
make it happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And if people can't volunteer time, they can donate. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. We take donations throughout the year. If organizations would like to make monetary donations, the you know, we accept monetary donations. If organizations or companies like to set up the drop-off boxes within their workplaces, we can set up that too, you know, like a collection site where they can drop off new and used toys and unwrapped, and we can also arrange for somebody to do the collection for the company. So anybody can donate.
I want to say for sure, though, all we want to deal with is new items.
Exactly.
You know, because this is Christmas, after all, and every child deserves something new of their own.
And the way you set it up, a store, a shopping experience for the families, or for the parents, I guess they would come in, mm-hmm. it really helps them with, it's a dignified process.
That's actually, you know, part of the mission of it is that we will help less fortunate by bringing together people that need help and people that want to help and serve them in a dignified and respectful manner when they go through, you know. Nobody has to know anybody's story, why they're there. Once they're approved, they needed it. You know, they needed it. Now volunteers know that, and everybody is treated fairly, equally, and all the volunteers greet all our clients when they're taken through the store with a big smile. And when they leave, they usually, the volunteers usually get hugs and thank yous, you know, for this. And many, some clients cry, you know, they're so happy. And volunteers cry too.
Yes,
because, you know, because they feel like they've really made a difference.
And now, can children volunteer, or do you have an age limit that?
We do have an age limit. You have to be 15 and older to volunteer.
But that would be a good project for teenagers.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, and one of the things that younger kids, because that's a big thing, they want to bring, you know, brownie troops and Cub Scouts and that. But there are so many things that they can do on the outside that can help us on the inside. And a lot of it is just getting awareness of our program and in their own schools. You know, take the initiative, some leadership in the younger kids, especially middle school. Set up a warming tree to collect new mittens and new gloves. Or do a thing. Some schools do things like selling spirit links, which are little pieces of paper and they're chains, and they sell them for a quarter each, and they can make a lot of money. And then usually in those middle schools, the PTA or whatever it is they have in the school, the parents' organization, take those kids shopping to pick out items to bring to the store on the money that they've raised. So there's no reason that everybody can't get involved somehow.
And I know in the past you've had Boy Scouts do food drives, and Girl Scouts have been singing for their supper.
Right.
So there are all kinds of activities that they
can
do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Boy Scouts will be going out, and I think it's November 12th, they'll be collecting food. So. Mm-hmm.
And also the Girl Scouts are involved in the holiday stockings. They, you know, they take probably close to 3,000 stockings. They fill them up and they bring them to the store, which is, you know, really good for the program.
That's a great project.
Yes, it is.
Now,
mm-hmm.
how, if people need assistance, how do they get into the program?
Well, this is another thing that has changed a little bit this year. They apply online through our website, Loudoun.gov at holiday/holidaycoalition, and there's an online application. They put it in and they enter it themselves. Then they will be notified later in early December, end of November, that they have been approved. They'll get application has been accepted. They'll get an email immediately, and then after that they'll get the letter when their appointment time is. So that's how they sign up for it. So this year, before that it was all paper, so we're saving a tremendous amount of time this year by having people, and also a tremendous amount of having to read the applications, because handwriting is always an issue. And so this is hopefully helping us out. But we'll see. It's our first year. We've had our trials and errors with this type of application. But that's how it's happening. And the way that they find out usually is we're very much involved with outreach to our nonprofit organization, any human service agency, anybody that knows people that need assistance. So we keep that rapport going all the time.
Now, over the years, have you seen the request for assistance increase?
Oh, yeah. I think our first year, and we thought this was unbelievable, the first year we did maybe 560, I believe that's what it was. And now it's up to, last year they served 1,400, mm-hmm. but we've served as high as 1,800 in a year, families. So we don't know what happened last year. There was, you know, we don't know if people didn't get their letters or what happened, because we did have applications of 1,800. So this year, again, we're saying we expect 2,000 families. Interfaith Relief right now is preparing for 2,000 for Thanksgiving food distribution, and that's what they have to prepare for this year, to have enough, you know, everything that they need, new clothing, new toys, everything.
And they always need support, you know, with the food. Mm-hmm. So if anybody is willing to do another Dropbox for the interfaith, they'll greatly appreciate the support.
And then if people do want to volunteer beyond that, how do they get in touch with you to do that?
Again, go to our website and we have an automatic sign up for volunteer. All the shifts are broken out, whether you're going to be receiving donations, sorting donations, setting up the store,
shopping.
With the clients, loading, you know, loading. They have the categories all set up and how many volunteers they need, and you just sign up automatically. Again, automation. Because we've moved forward a lot from our handwritten lists in the beginning.
Well, and since you've been with the program over the years, what are some of the what's some of the feedback that you've gotten from the recipients?
From the recipients, you know, like I said before, you know, some of them come through and they are so grateful. Big thank yous. The smiles on their face is enough to light your face, you know, because you know they left there happier and they feel a whole, like, stress level has been relieved from them, because a lot of them are going, how am I going to give my kids something for Christmas? So it's that. And then I think the other thing that I see, you know, some of them write you notes, and some of them are just beautiful notes that you get. And some of them are just very simple. I love you. We couldn't do it without you. And there's one elderly lady that writes, it drew me cards every year. You know, you're the best lady. You know, it's something that really would hit me every year. Of course, I'd share all that with the volunteers. And then a lot of our clients come back when things get better for them. I remember one family in particular. We had helped them for several years. They came back 1 year, the next year after things were starting to pick up, and they came in with the husband, the wife, and the three children, and they brought in three brand new shiny bikes, you know? So they want to give back, too. They don't want to just receive. They want to give back if they can.
And then I imagine from volunteers, as you mentioned, you also get a great reaction that they feel good for
helping.
Yeah, I think for volunteers, it's like giving themselves a gift for the holidays. That's how many of them feel, you know? Some of the volunteers have been there all 16 years and have worked on this program, so you know it says something about what they must be getting out of it.
Right. Well, anything else we should touch on before we go?
The only thing I'd like to say, besides the Christmas program, and I'll say this and then Gloria can wrap up, is that Loudoun Interfaith Relief will be doing distribution on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of November for families in need. There is no application process for that, and they can go to Loudoun Interfaith Relief's website to find out more information about that. But you just show up those 3 days, and it's by the alphabet. So,
great.
Other than that, I want to make sure that we support them too in that partnership.
Great.
Okay, basically, I would like to say, you know, people may not be aware of this, but the program itself does not have a set budget, so we do rely on our donors. We do rely on our volunteers. So please step up and support the program and make a difference to someone's life this holiday season.
All right, well, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy.
And please stay tuned because we'll be right back.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Where have you been?
I lost my cat.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah, so I made this cat magnet to try and get it back.
Cool. Does it work?
Kinda.
Ow!
Nice.
Yeah, but that's not my cat.
Gotta keep working on it.
See ya.
See ya.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org.
Meet a drop of water who can help you keep our streams and lakes clean. Here's today's tip from Sprink. If you fertilize your lawn, don't use too much. And don't leave it on the driveway. Fertilizer can get washed into storm drains and then to nearby streams, which makes our water sick. So sweep fertilizer from paved areas onto the grass. And remember, fertilize in the fall, if at all. For more ways to protect our water, contact us today.
Welcome back to Inside Loudoun County. Joining me now are Randy Sutliff with the Claude Moore Charitable Foundation and Nicole Steele, who is a Loudoun County Energy Grant Specialist. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Nancy.
Hi.
Let's start out, Randy, with a little bit of background about exactly what the Claude Moore Charitable Foundation is.
Well, I think everybody in Loudoun has heard Dr. Moore's name. He was a Loudoun County resident for most of his life, lived to be 96. That was a long time. And he left basically all his estate to charity for education with a big emphasis on Loudoun County. We've done a variety of healthcare education projects, big things like building medical school buildings at the University of Virginia, Virginia Commonwealth, and our prototype program in Loudoun County, the Claude Moore Scholars, where it's a vocational education program teaching high school students to get licensed in various healthcare professions, which is very exciting, and we're taking broader and broader, but using Loudoun as our base.
And then how does Moorefield Station come out of this?
Dr. Moore invested in a lot of land in Loudoun County. That was his legacy. He didn't own too much when he died except land. And after he passed in 1991, we started selling off some land and decided that this one particular area, where he had several thousand, 2,000 acres, would at some time be very, very valuable. We sold off other things to keep this, plant it, work with Loudoun County and other people to make it what we one day hope it'll be. This property is 2 miles west of Dulles Airport, and when he died, it didn't have water, it didn't have sewer, and it was several miles to a hard surface road. Pretty soon we'll have Metro and the highest density and most unique development in Loudoun County.
Well, and that leads me to my next question. What do you envision Moorefield Station to be?
Ultimately, and this takes time, we plan to have almost 10 million square feet of non-residential development, retail, office, that sort of thing, and almost up to 6,000 housing units, most of which will be multifamily. It's going to be a downtown, a real downtown, focused on the Metro station.
So it's, as you say, it's close to Dulles, and so Metro is going to come out to Dulles?
Yeah, we've all heard about it. We're down to sort of the final licks of the planning. Metro is under construction out as far as the east side of Reston. Phase two of the Silver Line is coming up soon, and that's, I guess, a vote be held by the new Board of Supervisors sometime next year, both in Loudoun and in Fairfax. And if that goes forward, we can expect the Metro line to be up and running into Loudoun County sometime, and the dates vary, but sometime before, you know, 2017, 2018.
And what we're seeing on the screen is an artist rendering of, I believe, what it's going to look like when the rail station is there.
That's a view of a Moorefield Station with the train line coming down the median of the Greenway. You can see an overpass linking Moorefield on the left with Loudoun Station on the right. Loudoun Station is a similar but substantially smaller community. And again, large amount of density focused around the rail station and then sort of blending out to be more compatible with Eastern Loudoun suburban development.
And we see another artist rendering. I can see some tall buildings, and it looks like a retail center.
This is a view of the what we call Moorefield Boulevard that will be coming into Moorefield Station from the south. The road actually curves, and at the curve, it's sort of in the middle of the screen, is an office building that in this time we envision as potentially a county building that is on a plaza that goes over to the Metro station.
So it's going to be an innovative development in many ways.
Yes, we hope to. Dr. Moore loved Loudoun County, and of course, like to have his name on things, his park where he used to live in Sterling, and Moorefield, we hope, will be the culmination of that dream, as well as the proceeds of sale of land. As we sell off the land in Moorefield Station, we'll go to fund the activities of the foundation. That's what its real value is.
And, Nicole, it is an innovative development, and energy is going to be at the core of sustainable development. And the county's involvement revolves around an integrated energy management plan. And if you could explain to us what that is, that would be great.
Sure. From the county's perspective, we are very excited to work with the Claude Moore Charitable Foundation and Randy on this project. Just to give a little bit of background on where this project came from, the county received about $2.5 million in stimulus funds through the EECBG program, which is the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program that's managed by the Department of Energy. And one of the identified projects in our county energy strategy is the Moorefield Station Integrated Energy Plan. And so what we're looking to do is take Moorefield Station to that next step. It's a new urbanist-style community that'll be built densely around a transit center that'll be walkable, very livable. It'll have the amenities that you need to both live, work, and play. And we want to take it to the next level and evaluate the possibilities of making it a zero-energy community. And so how do you do that? You take a look at how energy is used across the site. And so, you know, land use is energy, water is energy, waste is energy, and how do you take all of those components and organize them together through potential systems like a district energy system or a combined heat and power system, or use renewables on site like photovoltaic solar panels or geothermal opportunities, or even sort of biomass opportunities that we're looking to explore. So taking all of those smart elements from the smart land use perspective of tight streets and urban grid, to having smart buildings, so sort of a LEED style standard, but even a platinum LEED style standard. Maybe not LEED per se, but that's sort of the concept. And then taking any sort of waste of heat and trying to create your own renewable energy on site. And how is that possible? That's the point of this study.
So you're talking about all kinds of energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how is energy used to clean your water? How is energy used to move your waste around? How is energy used to heat and cool your buildings? How is energy used to move you around from place to place? And so we will be looking at all of those elements in this project.
So it's really a great Nexus opportunity to leverage what Moorfield Station, what you want it to be, with this, what the county's sustainable policies are.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is part of the county energy strategy, and there are identified goals in that strategy to reduce Loudoun County's energy use over time, as well as become a leader in the country, and not only Loudoun County in the country and the world, where people want to come see Moorfield Station and see what we're doing there and see how we're working in an innovative way to use energy differently. And that's the whole concept around the project.
And it's considered a scale project within the energy strategy?
Scale project means it can grow. One of the problems with a lot of energy projects is they take huge amount of capital investment, and because of that, they sort of never work. The idea here, and Moorfield will be scalable within this, and the idea is to develop ideas that could be used elsewhere in the county, but things that can grow as the community grows. Moorfield will only grow as fast as the market leads us. Right now, we've got 400 and some apartments up, a shopping center's underway, the police fire station's there, probably a school will be in, county school will be there in another couple of years, but it's going to grow, not force-feeding. We're not going to start building buildings and hope they will come. That works for cornfields and baseball, but doesn't really work in an urban environment. So what we have to do is scalable means make it work at the various levels of development. But we've looked at lots of things. I mean, and not all these ideas are going to pan out. Once Metro starts running, it needs a lot of electricity. So scalable may mean big electricity going right to run the trains. Scalable may mean using some of the extra heat from all the data centers that are located along Loudoun County Parkway. We're not sure any of those, how feasible they are. The purpose of this is to look at alternatives to, I hate to use the term because it's so trite, but think outside the box and see how we can start to make it work where people do work and where people live.
Now, have members of the community been involved with the project at this point?
Yes. We've identified two different teams that have been working on the project with the consultants and that have been identified that are leading the whole show, essentially. And we have an internal county staff team and Randy, and then we also have an external team, what we call the advisory panel. And we took leaders from the community that we believed could either be directly impacted by the Moorfield Station project or could be a direct partner with the project. So organizations that we've been working with are everyone from Dominion Virginia Power to Washington Gas, to Loudoun Water, to Verizon, just to name a few. But it's a great list. It's a very active group. We've had a couple meetings so far. They seem very engaged. Loudoun County Public Schools is also very interested in the project, especially because there is a school on site. And we will continue to work with those partners through the project to get their feedback and see how they will be impacted, whether it be beneficial or potentially even negatively, and then grow that partnership during the project. So if there are opportunities to work with the utilities in a certain way, or there's opportunities to work with schools or other organizations in a certain way, we're going to identify that in the study and sort of mold and grow those relationships during this process.
And is this the type of thing other people are doing, or are we pretty much on the cutting edge here?
We are on the cutting edge, and you know, I say that pretty confidently. However, Arlington County is following in our footsteps, and they are looking to move forward with a couple scale projects as well on a completely different situation, in that this is a green field and they're looking at retrofitting certain
areas.
That's
a big difference. Loudoun County had the vision in the 1990s to plan for this kind of development long in advance of Metro. As I said, there wasn't even a hard surface road anywhere near here. And as best we can tell, with the possible exception of a couple of new cities in China and in some of the oil emirates, this is the only start from scratch, right out of the ground, transit-oriented development in the world. And so one of the economies we have is we're building new, we don't have to tear down or retrofit. That gives us some significant advantages in terms of making it work.
Now, what should we be looking for in terms of a report or a public document that people will, you know, keep in touch with this project?
Well, ultimately, we will have a final report, and it will probably end up being a pretty lengthy report, very statistical, very sort of, you know, not for the layman. But so we will also have an executive summary that we will be able to put out for the public to take a look at, to get information around the more specifics of the project. And then we're also looking to put together an actual brochure that we will be able to use for the community, for Moorfield Station, and the county can also use it as well to sort of talk about what we decided to move forward with the project. Ultimately, we will take those three pieces and give a presentation to the Board of Supervisors probably early to mid next year.
Okay, well, we're about out of time. Anything else we should touch on?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you, and we'll look forward to updates on the project as it goes along.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Inside Loudoun County. We'll see you next time.
Meet a drop of water who can help you keep our streams and lakes clean. Here's today's tip from Sprink. Pick up after your pet and dispose of pet waste properly, because pet waste contains harmful bacteria. If it's left on the ground, it can wash down a storm drain and then to a nearby stream, which makes our water sick. For more ways to protect our water, contact us today.
Good grades aren't enough to get into college. There are actual steps you need to take. Finding someone who can help is the first and most important. For the next steps, go to knowhowtogo.org.